Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 20th, 2018. Spreading Kabbalah, the fuel for correction. From the time of the Aryans onward, the wisdom of Kabbalah was permitted to be spread among all the nations of the world. After all, the world entered the era of the Mashiach, Messiah, and therefore any spread of the knowledge of Kabbalah is to the benefit of correcting the world. And before that, there was a prohibition on the spread of Kabbalah, as it accelerated the development of the world, which was detrimental to the people of Israel. It turned out that egoistic forces accelerate their development, outstripping the development of the forces of Bestowel, that is, Israel. The prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah, said that the nations of the world will carry the sons of Israel on their shoulders to the temple, that is, toward the end of correction, to complete adhesion between the Creator and creations. To ascend the mountain of the Creator is hard work, which is beyond the abilities of the people of Israel, light desires, desires for bestowal. Therefore, the spread of the wisdom of Kabbalah among the nations of the world is so necessary. It is the engine that will push the entire correction upward to the Mashiach. From the third part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, the 16th of April 2018, writing of Baal HaSulam, Messiah's Shofar. Forming qualities like the Creator's. There is no Creator without creation. If there is no creation, then there is no concept of Creator at all. There is abstract upper light in and of itself, called Atzmuto, His essence. The Creator begins where there is already a certain desire in which, according to its properties, the upper light can be revealed. Then the concept of the Creator and creation appears. There is no creation without the Creator and there is no Creator without creation. That is, the upper force only has the form that a person prepares for it, as it is written, "You have made me and my sons have defeated me." Our entire work is to prepare a special place for the revelation of the Creator, and it is realized in the Ten. To the extent we can connect with each other, in the measure of our unity, we will attract the light that reforms, which will improve our relations. The Creator conveys Himself to the creations and helps them in everything so that they will discover Him more and more. The Creator reveals Himself in the Ten to the extent we unite our forces and their level. This requires work to overcome, as well as the creation of special forms and qualities that correspond to the Creator. The creation assumes the properties that the Creator possesses and tries to reproduce them, and the Creator shows the creation whether the creation's assumptions were correct or not. This is how He teaches us the art of building the forms of creation similar to the Creator, that is, constructing a human, Adam. There is no more exalted and interesting work than the disclosure of the Creator in the Ten. It captures absolutely everyone, and it is impossible to remain indifferent. After all, we look forward to how we will build and discover the Creator, who will manifest Himself in the measure of our efforts and fill us. The upper light creates within a desire to enjoy all forms from the beginning to the end, and then disappears to enable us to repeat these actions, and thus study the whole process that we must go through in order to become like the Creator. Similar to a sculptor who creates a sculpture from a piece of marble, we sculpt the Creator from our desire so that it acquires the form of bestowal, and darkness shines like light. The forms themselves are not needed, but from them we learn who the Creator is, to whom we are going to become similar. In principle, this was the purpose of creation, and everything else was only the means to bring the creation to the Creator's level. Any action in one's personal life and in the life of the group is meant only to reveal within us the wholeness of the Creator. Everything is directed toward the end of correction and moves us toward one goal. And to what extent we will participate in it already depends on us. To the extent that the creation succeeds in awakening the Creator, we feel ourselves as existing, understanding, and sensing. This is the whole meaning of creation. The living body differs from the dead one in that it attains something by itself. That is, Everything must be preceded by one's desire. The general desire to enjoy is created by the Creator, and its filling, its satisfaction, is also in the Creator's hands. But to connect the desire with the filling is our task. Who is a human being? It is one who understands, is aware, prays, and applies efforts to connect the desire with the fulfillment. Why do I want to tie them together? In order to become similar to the Upper One, my Creator. For this purpose, I have been given these two forces. On one hand, the desire, and on the other hand, the power of light. In this work, the creation manifests its desire to resemble the Creator and thus proclaims that there is none else beside Him. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 16th of April 2018, preparation for the convention in New Jersey. Religion, the imaginary spiritual sphere. Baal HaSulam, the writings of the last generation, however, according to man's merit, who consists in intellectual preparation, he continued to develop through deeds and suffering, and assumed religion, politics and justice, and finally became civilized. What does religion mean? It is when a person creates a spiritual world in his egoistic desire, not because of his birth into spirituality, but within himself, within his egoism. Religion is the reflection of that spiritual sphere, which he imagines for himself: angels with wings, the Creator sitting on a cloud, heaven, hell, and so forth. All of this is created inside egoism, for its own benefit. Indeed, this entire development was placed solely on the shoulders of the better part of society, and the masses followed them like a herd. Without a doubt, all sciences, arts, education, and religions were established and introduced to the masses so that people would follow qualitative minority like a herd. But even this head of humanity is still an egoistic part, which developed a system of control, achievement, and religious movements for its own benefit, so they could experience maximum comfort in every period of time. When the masses opened their eyes to take their fate into their hands, they had to revoke all the corrections and laws of the assertive, being religion, justice, and politics. This is because these were only according to the spirit of the assertive, according to their development and for their own good. Question: in other words, at some point there was a protest from the masses? Answer: it depends on where and how. Of course, there were some serious attempts at uprising, for example, in Christianity, Calvinism, Lutheranism, and other religious movements. In the Christian and Muslim religions, there was a serious departure from the initial true aspects of their religions. Then they once again fell into an ever-growing egoism. The same thing happened in Judaism, which was initially developing under the influence of the altruistic part, Kabbalah, completely detached from the material condition. But then everything died out. During the time of the Second Temple, the Jews fell completely back into egoism, into mutual hatred, and since that time that is how we exist. We even forgot that at one time we lived by the law of love, and now we dwell in hatred, like an ordinary life. Naturally, we experience ourselves as normal people, even righteous, completely unaware that we are in the purest egoism. From Cab TV's The Last Generation, September 11, 2017. What do dreams mean? Question: what do dreams mean? Answer: I heard from Rabash and see it myself from the system of governance that dreams in our world are no more than a consequence of things experienced during the day. Sometimes, there are prophetic dreams and a person sees something in the future. I also have had such states. This happens because we disconnect from our egoism and rise to the next level where everything already exists, the past, the present and the future. We connect to a flow of information where time does not exist. Therefore, there are people with increased sensitivity who can really predict the future. There is no need to be a Kabbalist for this. Question: how can one see the future if everything depends on a person? Does it already exist? Answer, it exists no matter what a person does. A person changes the future, but it is already prepared. Question, if we are talking about the end of an action, do we mean the very last action of correction? Answer, we mean the very last action from what must happen now, according to the plan. Question, there even is a principle, we were like unto them that dream. What is this about? Answer, when we return to the state of complete correction, we are acting as if in a dream. We cannot imagine how much the upper light completely controls us. We were like unto them that dream is a phrase from King David's Psalms. Everything written in Psalms is absolute Kabbalah. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 19th of November 2017. New Life number 975. Humanity's next developmental level.
Hello and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about mankind's most advanced achievements in genetics, medicine, cloning, many different very advanced things. We'd like to understand where did we get these abilities from and where are they supposed to lead us. Be with us. Yael, please. Yeah, to continue what Oren said, to really understand what's the difference between what man develops in nature, which is on the level of agriculture, weather, science, vaccines, increasing life expectancy, many things that science is really advancing in. And man's really improving many things. And we'd like to understand what's the difference, or what is the meaning of all of these developments, and what's the difference between what man develops and the things that exist in nature. And I'd like to open with this question. What's the difference between the natural things and things that are the work of man? For example, what's the difference between an animal that was born in a natural way and an animal that was created through cloning? There are more and more laboratories that clone animals for purposes of medicine and for other reasons. Suppose a person's dog passed away and he wants the very same dog, exact cloning of what he had. And today, they have laboratories, especially in South Korea, also in the United States. What's unique about it? I don't see anything unique about it. Meaning there's no difference between an animal that was born in a natural way and an animal that was born in a laboratory as a result of cloning. No, they're the same. No, that here we're controlling the process. Yeah, but the final product. A dog is a dog. The entire cloning process started after Dolly was cloned in 1996. She passed away because her life wasn't good. She had many diseases, and we weren't able to create a living creature the way nature does it, meaning there were different complications that came as a result of this artificial cloning, meaning human cloning is still not equivalent to what nature does naturally. The question is it only something temporary and we will be able to clone animals that will live a good, satisfying life like any other animal in nature? Can we do that? Why not? I'm asking because to me it seems like a wonder. I don't see any wonder about it. If we take seeds and for one seed we can develop 10,000 seeds, why can't we do the same on the animate level? And man, in this respect, is also a part of the animate level. So I'll challenge you. To clone a person. What's the difference between a person dolly and a dog. More sophisticated systems, okay. More developed thought. We don't make the thoughts. More developed emotions. It's something that we can't touch. It's a result of our making of man, of his birth. We're not reaching the emotions or thoughts yet that we determine that a person will be born with such and such qualities, with such and such emotions, with such and such mind. No. These are things that we don't understand. So what are the boundaries? To what extent will we be able to clone people? What can we intervene in? What can't we? We can intervene in anything that's given to us, to a person in this world, including the animate mind and emotions that a person has in this world. You're emphasizing inanimate mind and emotions because man's a beast. What else does he have? He knows how to use his mind and emotions for his development. So, of course, there's more to this development than there is in animals, usually in animals. It's instinctive, and in man, it's in the way that he develops. There's a perception that says that nature is harmonious, and when people try to initiate, to create something of their own, to correct or improve, eventually, they cause harm in a different place. We know that. We take pills, they do good in one place and destroy something in another place. When you disrupt an ecosystem, then maybe you can really improve, apparently, one thing, but eventually turns out that you harmed the sum total in another place. Right. The question is, does any artificial intervention by man cause harm in another place where maybe we don't immediately see, but eventually we'll find out that depends on what intention do we do it with and what do we cause by it. We can't say yes and we can't say no. What do you mean by intention? Because a doctor was given permission to cure. If by this I can cure things, damages in the body, then why not? And what does the intention have to do here with? A doctor knows how to cure, yes, but why does it have to do with the intention? The intention is for the benefit of the patient. Meaning, if it's a good intention to begin with, then it's possible to do it, yeah. Meaning it's possible for the final outcome to be good. I don't know if there's a possibility or not. Depends who and what. But it's possible to do them. I want to give an example. Is it possible to create some kind of pill, suppose, that will eventually be able to do good without harming any other system in our body? Never? Ever? Why? Because good and bad have nothing to do with the pill. Can you explain? That's the difference. What do you mean explain? I have nothing to explain. I don't understand what you just said. There's no such pill that can cause good to a person. It could make him happy. It could calm him down if a person thinks that it's good or not. But a pill that's called good, there's no such thing. Maybe the word good is incorrect. Previously you said that the doctor has the permission to cure, and if he has the right intention towards the patient, then it's allowed. Nature gives him the legitimacy. Do it. It's allowed. So suppose I'm a doctor, someone's ill. I do something, I perform a certain action. I intervene in this entire natural process. Of course, because a doctor was given permission, as it's written. My intervention sometimes has implications. It was like a perfect puzzle. I moved some part, and even if I don't exactly understand what I did, maybe I harmed some other part in the system that will come revealed in 5 years. Okay? In the future, will our mind develop to such an extent that we'll know how to intervene in such a pure way that it won't corrupt anything, but only will correct? It all depends on our development. Is it possible? Possible. What's the problem? What are we lacking nowadays that we touch things in nature and cause corruptions? Lack of knowledge, lack of precision, many factors. And can we get better? Yeah, from day to day. So man will really be able to perform actions that are as if perfect? Sure? Really? Yeah? Excellent. Will he do it, like you said, with a good intention that will create the whole and perfect thing? Or he'll learn to understand the entire system? What do you mean by the entire system? For example, a doctor today. Or we develop some kind of medicine. Or we change something in ecology. We don't really know the entire system and all the implications of what we're doing. How does it influence all the other aspects? We do the best that we can in accordance with the knowledge that we have, and maybe this is one of the reasons for which we cause some kind of harm eventually on the other side that we don't exactly know. What can you do? My question is, you're saying very clearly that eventually man will know how to develop such things that will be only for the benefit of others. It depends on the level of our development. What's there so much talk about? A person has cancer in some bone. The doctors say, we have no choice, we have to amputate your leg. So they amputate. He agrees, he does. Otherwise, he has no choice. It'll spread. Right. In 100 years, they'll tell him, you have to get a shot, or it's even enough to take a pill because you have a problem. And what's going to be the difference between today and in 100 years? We'll know more correctly what the disease is and how to cope with it. That's it. What are you all the time looking for secrets, inner secrets here? Knowing nature, following it, and imitating it. That's it. Will there be a limit to our understanding of nature? I'll give you an example. Because in my family there is a history of cancer. Then a few years ago I was told, look, today we have this new laboratory where you come with all your tests and everything. We give you a few tests and then we'll know how to identify in advance whether you have certain mutations that can develop. We'll know it in advance. We'll give you regular checkups and we'll be able to prevent it. 20 or 30 years ago, you didn't have such things. We advanced. Yeah. Take us into the future. Our understanding of how this process, system, mechanism of life and creation works, will it grow? Is the human mind limitless in its development? Everything that we have in this world, we can attain and use. So I don't understand. You're saying that it's limitless. Limitless. Give me a promo. What will man be able to do in the future that we can't do today? Everything that he needs for a good animate life. What do you mean by animate life? For the body. We'll be able to cure any bodily problems. A person will be able to live forever? No, we're not built that way. This is the limit. Every developing body has a limit. So here there's a limit, because eternal life is something that people are trying to work on, but it is impossible. Impossible. I hear that someone wrote that in 300 years we'll be able to, in 1,000 years we'll be able to. No. It's just an advertisement in order to get money from the donors and to continue with their own business. Okay, let's look a bit into the future. When our mind will develop, previously I gave this example, we'll be able to cure all bodily problems. When we will be more developed creatures. For example, we'll be able to cure all of our bodily problems. What else? Everyone will have a plane, a missile, will be able to fly to the moon for a weekend. What do you want? I'm asking. You won't be able to break beyond the boundaries of this world. Unless, but this is something that we have to talk about separately. In the framework of our corporeal life, you will be able to build a more friendly environment where you will really be able to travel in the nearby universe, for example, if it interests you. Along with saying that there are no limits, you're saying within the framework of the animate life. Yeah, sure. What is there beyond the animate life, and what are these boundaries? There's a different life that are unrelated to our life here. What do you have there? There you have a completely different development, and new, other, different qualities that are called the next world, the upper world, qualities that are opposite to this world, which are entirely bestowal and love. What do you have there that you don't have here? Everything's the opposite. They're where? In a different dimension. What kind of dimension is it? Different kind. Can you tell a bit? What do you mean by different? What's different there? What people dress differently? What's different? Where is it? It's not where is it, because you can't measure it by the parameters of this world. It doesn't exist. There is no place. Where is this dimension? Where does it happen? It's happening in the desire of love of others. The desire of the love of others is called the spiritual place. What's possible there that you can't develop within the boundaries of this animate life? Everything beyond the animate life is there. What is there beyond the animate life? So we'll understand a bit. Limitless life, unlimited by time, space, or motion. So you're saying that in 100 years, in 1,000 years, doesn't matter when we'll be really smart. We won't be able to control time, place, or motion, doesn't matter. Meaning there is something beyond that. No matter how developed a person is, there's no such thing as eternal life. No. Are there such dimensions that we won't be able to control even if we'll be really smart, but it is possible in that dimension that you're talking about? Yeah. What do you have there? What has to happen in order to cross into that dimension? Why should we cross there? Why is it beneficial? A person that's searching and is developing, for sure he'll discover the need to cross into a higher dimension, because he'll feel limitations much before what we talked about. I hope that in the near future, more and more people with the despair that we have today will develop to a state where they will say, that's it, we have to cross into the next dimension. Who's that man living in the next dimension? He's called a spiritual man. He looks like an ordinary person. He doesn't look, he doesn't appear. You don't have all the figures, images, distances, volume there. So what do you have there? Because I don't know what to grab onto. True, you have nothing to grab onto. That's why you don't feel anything from there. Where is there? There, it means in the desire to bestow, or the desire to love. The desire to love? Yeah. What about it? It's fine. I mean, up till now, we said that man, throughout the generations, he developed his mind more and more and his emotions, and he reached a state where today he can do wonderful things that he couldn't do 10 years ago, and you're saying that this will grow and everything will be perfect. Beyond this, he said that there is an additional thing, which is the desire to love, to bestow, to do good. This desire is something that's supposed to develop in a person. It's a desire, right? So when such a desire will develop in a person, this will lead us to a different kind of development, different than all the abilities that we described up till now. In that desire that will develop, you will see a different life, different abilities. What kind of abilities? The ability to bestow and love. When you use words like the ability to love, the ability to give, to bestow good, it's an ability that today you don't identify in the world. In our world? Yeah. Not in any way. If we're talking about precise definitions, our world can't contain, withhold the desire to bestow, to give, to love. Why? Because our substance is egoistic. Our entire desire is based on acquiring, fulfilling only itself. And if it performs certain actions of bestowal, of love, of giving, it's because it's beneficial for it, that it wants to fulfill itself. And this development, this future development that you're talking about, its essence is what? Bestowal and love. Yeah, but you said that our substance is the very opposite, that it's made in order to acquire, and even if it loves and gives, it's still in order to fulfill itself in some way. Right. This is the substance that we're made of. Yeah. And what we depict in it is called this world. Now, you're not saying it as criticism, meaning it's not about good or bad people, but this is how everyone is. Everyone, including everyone. This is why I call it substance, because it's not matter. It's not matter that you can feel with your hands. What kind of matter is it? No. Everything that we feel are different types of desires to delight myself. This desire, in 1,000 years, when we'll be able to fix any medical problem, that we'll be able to travel to the moon, everything you described up till now, he'll have a house where by the snap of his fingers he'll have everything that he wants. Will he be content? No. No. Because we're made in such a way, according to the plan of our development, that man is never content, and after he'll have a lot, precisely then, he'll want to breach beyond that. Then he'll want to cross into the other dimension. And the other dimension is that we exchange our substance from egoistic matter that wants to absorb everything for its own benefit into what? Bestowal and love. That this substance, what does it want? My substance right now wants to absorb, and that substance wants to give. And this development, it as if awaits us in our evolution, for sure. And when I'll go through such a change, I need a cloning laboratory, or you don't need any laboratory. You have to perform actions in order to develop this opposite desire in you, this new desire, more advanced desire. Yeah, that will open up what? A new dimension? A new world? A new world. New how? That you will see life in bestowal, in the force of giving, a limitless life. Previously you said that the place where we are today, that our substance is such that it's constantly looking for how to fulfill ourselves, and a person will never be content even if he has a condo on the moon. This next place that we have to develop to, with the opposite kind of matter, where we bestow love and so on, will a person be content there? And if so, from what? Because these actions and the fulfillment that he'll get from these actions are limitless. Limitless how? In everything. In volume, in everything. An action of love that you produce from yourself towards others for the benefit of others, it really gives you an infinite fulfillment. Why? Because by that, you acquire as many desires, thoughts, as you want outside of yourself, by which you're not limited. It's not like in this world where you receive something and it clogs you. But when you fulfill others, you yourself, you're not clogged. Exchanging this desire from the desire to absorb and fulfill myself to a desire that's working in the opposite direction, to emit from myself to others, how will this influence the development of the brain? The brain will also help you with this new emotion, feeling. This feeling of bestowal and love of others for the benefit of others, the brain will work to serve this feeling. It will give us abilities that we're not familiar with. Yes. What, for example, the mind will be unlimited. It will start working in connecting with all the desires that are outside of it, to feel them, see them, annexing them to himself in order to fulfill them. Meaning man starts to include inside himself all those that he wants to bestow to them, all those that he can bestow to. Meaning one man will be integrated in all the souls, so-called, in all the desires, in all the knowledge, understanding of this upper universe. And this will make a person content? Yes. Because in bestowal, there is ceaseless and limitless pleasure. What is that? Limitless, ceaseless pleasure. That there is no one that can stand in a person's way in this respect. What's standing in my way today, where I have pleasure in life, why does it stop? Because you're clogged. Even if you get something really, really pleasant, how much of it can you receive? You're limited in your vessels. Okay, so I'm clogged. And in this advanced state, where you fulfill others and you enjoy fulfilling them, like a mother fulfilling her baby, and she has a billion babies, and she's capable of fulfilling them, what pleasure she has. If I understand your approach, it's acquiring the ability to enjoy limitlessly. And this is the next evolutional degree of our development? Yeah? Okay. Now, nature that we came from knows that we're going to develop to that place. By that, we're realizing its plan, meaning, because it's all according to the plan of nature. What? We live simply so, without a plan, whatever way we feel like. This entire plan is to bring us to despair of this entire limited life of ours, and to bring us to the eternal life. So why does nature allow man to develop his brain to such developed degrees like today, in order to digest, acknowledge that this is a terrible development? Terrible how? That we're only harming ourselves and others, and no one enjoys it. That's the evil, that whatever we do, build, attain, develop, acquire, will eventually, emotionally wise, not bring us to this feeling of good? Of course it won't. Even if you'll, I don't know how many dogs you'll clown for yourself or whatever you told me about, doesn't matter. If I'm limited, if I don't fulfill myself, if I'm not happy, if I'm not glad, what do I care what kind of flights to the moon will you invent for me? I won't want to leave home. Look at the younger generation. Last question. At the peak of evolution, man is supposed to be a wise or happy creature. He's supposed to be happy and wise creature, full of limitless pleasures in a spiritual way. Spiritual meaning what? In bestowal and love of others. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.